And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, and, oh, by the way, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. Yes, I am. And I mean, this show broadcasts its signal way on down south of Birmingham, almost to Montgomery, really, all the way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, let's get on it. So, in case you have not heard, interesting thing occurred here in the last few days. Now, I'll tell you this. First of all, Governor Ivey is all in for kindergarten programs. All right, so it's one of the planks in her education platform, which I did not know she had an education platform, to be honest. But the governor in her State of the State address in February, I believe it was, she announced that she was calling on state legislators to even make mandatory kindergarten a thing. So I got mixed feelings on that. If you want to text in, do you believe that kindergarten should be mandatory? I don't know about that. But I'll be honest with you, the programs that we do have in Alabama are allegedly good ones. Alabama's kindergarten program, and by the way, the governor calls it Strong Start, Strong Finish. That's her overall education plan, which I don't know what it entails, truthfully. But I'll give her credit for this. On her watch, the kindergarten program has really escalated into a fine, nationally recognized, award-winning program. Good deal. I'm glad to see Alabama doing something at some level in the education, public education arena that is catching the eye of, you know, the rest of the nation. Well, so anyway, the governor did say in her State of the State address that she's calling on state legislators to make kindergarten a mandatory part of what she called the educational journey in Alabama. Story here off CBS 42. And she's not kidding. That's what she wants to do. And there are those in the education arena that are calling for it. Right now, it says kindergarten is not a requirement to enter the first grade in this state. This is something that Jefferson County Elementary Curriculum Director Dr. Angela Watkins is quoted in this article as saying she hopes will change. She said, in her opinion, teaching five-year-olds important skills like handwriting, practicing sounds and letters and speeches will help set them up for success beyond first grade. Maybe, but I get into the mandatory piece. I mean, there's a whole lot of, I don't know, childhood there. I look at it and think, do we want to say you will go to kindergarten 5 days a week that early? So I think we're talking about, 4 or 5 years old. So mixed bag of feelings for that for me. If you got a thought, you let me know. Dang, apparently some people are already texting in about this. So Jenny from Decatur is texting in and says, mandatory? Yes, especially in the state of Alabama. Nowhere to go but up. Okay. All right, your little man, did he go to kindergarten?
Yeah, he's in kindergarten now.
Kindergarten now. That's right, he is. Okay, I was thinking it was first grade. But yeah, okay. But that's a choice, right?
Yeah.
Our kids, yes. I went to kindergarten. I don't even know if Charlene did. I'm ashamed to say I've been married to her 37 years. I don't know if she went to kindergarten. I got to find out.
I need to ask about McQueen, too. I actually don't know.
There, okay, I feel better. But nonetheless, interesting development. Just this past weekend, actually, story broke on Fox News, I know less. Fox News has a piece talking about the fact that the director of, is she a director or secretary? What's her position? I got to find it. Secretary. The Alabama Department of Early Childhood Education Secretary, Secretary Barbara Cooper, has, she's no longer in her job. You tell me, was she fired or did she resign under the understanding that she'd be fired? Because what happened is this. Apparently what we have is that right here in Alabama, and by the way, when you see the stuff about woke stuff in schools, you think, well, I'm glad I live in Alabama. Guess what? Keep your guard up because it doesn't matter where you live. Reddest of red states, and the head of Alabama's Department of Early Childhood Education, according to Fox News, dated Saturday, has resigned after Alabama Republican Governor Cave Ivey was made aware of woke concepts featured in the books that were being distributed to teachers in the state. So the end result is this. Ivy's administration was made aware. There's like multiple levels of things to talk about in here. First of all, I will say this. Kudos to Governor Ivy. I've told you before, I get frustrated with her sometimes, but at the same time, I've known her personally for a number of years, and when I hear her doing something right, I'll point this out, and I'm pointing it out right now. Good for her dealing with the issue. I'm glad to see her administration was not going to sit idly by and go, well, will it really hurt somebody? I mean, maybe we don't want to make the waves. Make the waves! The other piece of this is, I'd like to know how it was brought to her attention. What I'm gathering is someone in the field, maybe a teacher, because it was a teacher's handbook, actually. Somebody in the field made her aware of the fact that this was ongoing. And she didn't dally. She got on it. Ivy's office said in a Friday press release last week, it was brought to the administration's attention that there was concerning content in a pre-K educator resource book, content that is simply not in line with what the Ivy administration or the people of Alabama stand for or believe, said the governor's office. And upon learning about the specific content, she asked Secretary Barbara Cooper from the Alabama Department of Early Childhood Education to send a memo to disavow the book and immediately discontinue its use. My understanding is that apparently Secretary Cooper chose not to do that. Wow. The governor's office said, the education of Alabama's children is my top priority as governor. There's absolutely no room to distract or take away from this mission. So we don't know exactly how Cooper responded, according to this article from Fox. But Ivy's office said the governor then accepted Cooper's resignation after calling for a change in leadership. So what it sounds like is wokeness in the handbook in the department in which the secretary presides. Governor says, hey, that ain't going to fly on my watch, and you work for me, so I'm telling you, you need to deal with this right now, disavow it, and get it out of circulation. Something was said back, and the governor said, well, I believe it's time for a change in leadership. What do you think? Here's my resignation. That's where it went. Alabama's first class pre-K is the best in the country, said the governor. Those children are too critical of a juncture in their educational journeys and development to get it wrong. I remain confident in the wonderful teachers we have in pre-K classrooms around our state. And the book, by the way, it's a pre-K educator resource. It's called the National Association for the Education of Young Children's Developmentally Appropriate Practice Book. The NAEYC. Guess who's on the board of the NAEYC? That would be Dr. Cooper, who resigned. Interesting. Pray tell, Phil. What ungodly things were in this book? Well, let me tell you. First of all, it was heavily laden with critical race theory. Material that led to Cooper's resignation, according to Ivy's office, invokes the ideas for teachers that there are, quote, larger systemic forces that perpetuate systems of white privilege and that the United States is built on systemic and structural racism. Okay, so CRT's in there. And then next, there was a whole ton of LGBTQ agenda stuff in there. Also included for four-year-olds to learn is that LGBTQIA+ needs to hear and see messages that promote equality, dignity, and worth, and that this is in no way something that should be taught to four-year-olds. Interesting. Well, it wasn't a curriculum, but it's a responsive, educator-developed, educator-informed, research-based resource, says the NAEYC. And now we have a vacancy that is being filled by the interim, Dr. Jan Hume. Okay, so here's the bottom line. The governor saw it. She dealt with it. I am glad she dealt with it. Never should have been there in the first place. The lady who was peddling the book is apparently on the board of the organization that promotes the book. Something's rotten in Denmark. And I would hesitate to say that there was some kickback here because I don't know that. But I look at it and think, if you're on the board and you're bringing the book from the organization where you're on the board into the curriculum, and you know for a fact, by the way, you can't say you didn't know. You're on the board of the people that make the book. You preside over the department that uses the book in a state where they are bringing the divisive concepts bill up again when the news is all about the fact that we don't want CRT and everything else. And that was a huge source of debate just in the last year or so in our state school board. And she didn't know? So what it sounds like to me, because she wouldn't renounce the book, Sounds like to me she wanted the book. And now she wants a new job. And I hope it takes a while to get it. There's that. If I got a call real quick, I'll do that real quick. Brian from Huntsville, what are you doing, Brian? How are you?
Doing mighty fine. I hope you gentlemen are well.
Absolutely, and, man.
I'm sitting there listening to this mandatory kindergarten. That's fine as long as you can still homeschool or you can send them to a private school. Otherwise, something like their minds at that age are easy to mold, so to say.
I totally agree, which is a little concerning when you think about the other story that I just had here alongside that. Exactly. is the woke concept, CRT and all that was being promoted for teachers to use as resource material with their kindergartens. I mean, wow.
Well, if they're going to rip them out of my home for mandatory kindergarten, I want full access to any class materials and anything that the teacher says. Put cameras in.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. Good. Have a good one.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And by the way, the text lines are mixed on this one. Allison from Madison. Oh, she just texted me happy faces. Or is it crying happy? Yes, laughing faces. I'm not sure what she's laughing at, but she's laughing. New texter. Do we not have a name? Bowling from Athens. Okay. Bowling from Athens says pre-K should be mandatory for a portion of the day. Toddlers fall behind mentally and socially when parents are not actively engaged. My kids went to a private pre-K for 3 hours a day, even though we weren't in daycare. My wife and I always rotated work shifts, so one parent was always at home with our kids. No daycare. But pre-K was good for the socializing aspect. I get it. And Russ, it's Russ from Athens. I appreciate it. Thanks, man, for the opinion. Kenneth from Hartsell. I'm glad our governor's a Christian and a believer in our Lord. Well, I am too, Kenneth. She still gets the fiscal policies wrong, but I'm glad she got this one right. John from Pike Road. Something totally different. I need to check on that later. That's not even related to our topic. Sheila from Madison says, kudos she got rid of her, but she didn't appoint her. Didn't she appoint her in the first place? I don't know. I would imagine she served at the pleasure of the governor, but I don't know if she predated. I have no idea how long Barbara Cooper has been the secretary for early childhood education in Alabama. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to move on to a break right now. We get this break done, we'll come right back and keep this going. And then top of the hour, you're going to want to hear Terry Lathan, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, on the line to talk to us about what's happening with school choice in the State House. She's actively engaged. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm telling you right now, the issue of school choice is a hot topic on the nationwide level. So, yeah, we got issues in Alabama with our public schools, period. They just do. We got great educators. By the way, don't ever let yourself be fooled into the idea that because I'm for school choice, it means I'm anti-public education. That's not at all. I'm a product of public education. I mean, all the way up through college, all public. But my kids went to a private school. My wife's a public school product who then went and taught at private school. So all that to say, I've seen both. I know the merits of both. I know when both can be good and when both can be not so good. I have also been, by the way, in schools, me personally, where they were pretty poor, and I wound up having to play catch-up when I went to the next school, military family, so we moved, right? But here's the thing. I'm going to say this over and over again. The underlying question with school choice, the underlying question is, do you believe that the tax dollars that already exist as a matter of law, that the tax dollars that already exist as a matter of law are there to feed the system or to educate the child? If you believe they are there to feed the system, then you will always hate school choice. because you can't take money away from the system. You can't. The school board might need it. The public schools might need it. But if we go school choice route, then you're the one who believes parents and kids are the ones that should have the greater say in what is needed. You should have parents literally having the opportunity to decide, this is best for my child. And that's a concept that seems to fall on deaf ears when it comes to those whose sole motivation in life is to preserve the system, the machine, if you will. While there are great public schools out there, I graduated from Grissom High School, but I'll be honest with you, my first year in high school and junior high, by the way, was in a Department of Defense school overseas, and it was a great school. I enjoyed it in many ways, but it was not a great school academically, and I came back to the States and went to Grissom and had to play catch-up. Early on in my life, Dad taught ROTC at Ole Miss after he got back from Vietnam. I did first grade in Oxford, Mississippi. Then we moved back to Huntsville, and I went to Chaffee Elementary, and I spent afternoons having to get caught up on things that they just weren't doing for me in the Mississippi schools. So I look at it and realize there are good and not so good public schools. But you know what I know? What I know is, my firm belief is, and I will defend this to the nth degree, my firm belief is that those tax dollars are there to educate the child first, not to put new gyms in the school, not to buy textbooks, not to give teachers raises, even though education is 50th in the nation. None of it. None of it is more important than the child for whom the education system is supposed to have been built. All that to say, right now we have, once again, in front of us, a major opportunity for school choice to be picked up. And by the way, this is happening around the nation. There are people right now who are watching their legislators pass epic-level school choice legislation around the nation. It polls extremely high on a bipartisan level. USA Today reports as of today that Florida just expanded their school voucher program again. Florida's been in school choice now since 1999. Even though this USA Today article opines how this could be dangerous for schools, it's been there since 1999. So for, what, 24 years? And the system hasn't crashed yet? When does it crash? How about this? Red State has an article talking about the fact that South Carolina is on the cusp of giving parents the right to pick where their kids will go to school through an educational voucher program very similar to the one being touted in Alabama right now. So 1819news.com points out by Dr. Daniel Sutter, a piece that was written. Daniel Sutter, by the way, is an economist, a very conservative individual at Troy State University, who writes on the fact that the Price Act, which we'll be talking about with our friend Terry Lathan here in just a minute, is before the legislature right now. And the Price Act, we believe, because we see it other places, will in fact increase school choice. It will increase competition significantly. And it'll even, by the way, alter the market for teachers, because what will wind up happening is, as the school gets better and the free market's coming in, it wants to stay better. And so the opportunity is there for locals to provide additional incentives if they want to. And they can do like they do with some football coaches and supplement their pay. How about that? Wouldn't that be amazing? Best schools, merit pay. That'd be cool. But then on top of it, you look at schools that are failing and you realize that a parent should not have to go, well, it's just it's where we live, Junior, so that's where you have to go to school. I'm sorry you can't read. You know, I'm sorry that you're in a failing school, but we can't afford to move, so you're just going to have to lump it, son. What kind of crap is that? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back, our friend Terry Lathan. Stay tuned. We'll talk more. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.